This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Care facilities are interesting places. They are. I mean, there's a lot going on in them, and depending on what is being cared for, who's being cared for, what the reasons are, you're going to have different dynamics. In care facilities with individuals who are suffering with some sort of a mental disorder, so many times those individuals just get passed off, what they claim, what they believe they're experiencing, just so easily and quickly gets passed off as, oh, it's part of the disorder, it's part of this or that. But what do you do when you have one person on one floor and the other floor, both claiming to see the same guy in the middle of the night? Same story, different floors, not supposed to be anybody around. That seems to point to something that may not be a disorder. Seems to point to a possible haunting. That's what one is trying to make sense of in our next story. Take a listen. The following story is a recollection of experiences and encounters I've lived throughout my childhood until the latest experience 9 to 10 years ago. The stories and events that I share with you are not fiction. In the beginning, I believed I did not know better and interpreted strange lights, sounds, smells, and physical experiences as being an unfocused kid. My intention is to share my story and to hopefully have the readers open themselves to another world that I believe coexists with our own. St. Basil is a small town on the border of Maine, in the neighbor to Edmonton and northwest of New Brunswick, Canada. When I was about 5 years old, my family and two neighbors were offered to have our homes moved so a shopping mall could be built, which is currently Madawaska Center Mall, which is closed. It was approximately in the summer of 1982. The very same year, our family home was moved to a new development along with our adjacent neighbors. About the same year, soon after being relocated, I remember having a terrible nightmare. Frightmares, as I'd call them, for several weeks, possibly months. My dreams were all happening in the same location, my bedroom. I remember seeing lights across my bedroom window one night in what I believed was a dream. I stood in my bed and tried to pull myself to the window to see outside, and there, back to my bedroom window, which was about 7 feet from the ground, stood a blue, glowing being. What appeared as some humanoid form seemed to feel my presence and turned around. The only thing I saw before screaming and running for my parents was blue, glowing skin with gray, dark smudges over it. The eyes were black. No orifices for the nose, nor mouth and ears. My parents later tried to convince me I was dreaming. I believe there are two types of dreams, the imaginative fantasy and the out-of-body experience where the dreamer sees his own surroundings, but with a transparency of the division from our world and the spirit world. The nightmares continued with images of eyes looking at me from the wall parallel to my bed. One night I remember seeing an old picture on the wall with an elderly woman, dark, rocking herself and turning her head to see me. Naturally, my reaction was again to scream in terror and seek my parents. The vision continued, even while I was desperately trying to keep my eyes shut, having images of monsters and demons' faces snarling at me. I was just a young child not exposed to horror films. Where would such images come from is beyond me. The following summer, I was playing in the garage with my father. It was a mid-afternoon with beautiful clear skies. My father was listening to the local radio channel as he usually did, and a static sound crossed over the speaker, cutting off the French advertisement from the radio. Then, a deep and metallic voice appeared, voicing something that I did not understand. The best way I could describe it was almost feeling of ancient incantations, witchcraft speeches. I remembered that my father grabbed me by the shirt, pulled me out of the garage, closed the door, and told me not to listen and to go play elsewhere. Several years later, I questioned my dad about the events, stating that he does not remember. It was probably my imagination. The next serious episode was approximately 3 to 4 years later. I remember being home alone as my brother was at a friend's home and my mother went for groceries. I was pretty young, and I assume at the time it was considered okay to be home alone for a short while. The basement was finished with a living room, open laundry room, picnic table, and fireplace. It was raining outside, dark with rain clouds. I proceeded downstairs, turned 90 degrees to my left to face the living room, and to my left side where the open laundry room is, as well as where the toy closet, I felt something move on the corner of my eye. Instantly, I turned to the left again where I saw the most blood-curdling images any child could see. There, down the hallway from the laundry room, were two adult-sized gray misted figures side by side that immediately rushed towards me. My instant reaction was to drop on the floor, screaming with my hands over my head. To this day, I have extreme chills just by describing the vision. I can still clearly see them bolting towards me, seeing darker mist where the eyes should be. The extremities of the arms and legs were invisible as of the end of the mist. The movement was swift but direct to me. I believe this was a personal attack. The following years, I continued to have an unbelievable fear of the basement. I could not take the stairs without any lights and always felt a presence in the dark, unlighted parts of the basement. My family also had some pets. At different times, we had a poodle for several years, and some cats after. The poodle Daisy and all the cats all behaved the same way. Again, I was getting into my teens and often did not want to follow my parents on visits. Therefore, I stayed home watching TV. In the entrance of the living room is a bedroom and bathroom hall. One time, I heard Daisy growling a bit, looking down the dark hallway towards the end. She was sitting close to me, fixing the darkness. I clapped my hands, called her several times, unsuccessful to get her attention. I even put my head right over hers in an attempt to see what she was seeing, and again, nothing. I let it go. This happened another time, same scenario. I was alone. She was fixating down the hall, growling, crying. This time I decided to go down the hall to see myself. There I stood, turned towards her, and tried to get her attention. She would look at me and quickly turned again, her gaze to something she was seeing to my right. At that time I was feeling curious and somewhat excited that there was a presence she could see. I could not see anything but decided to swing my arm through thin air. Immediately Daisy was somewhat surprised and looked at me while wagging her tail. The exact same scenario happened a third time, this time with the family cat. She was sitting at the hall entrance but looking to the dining room corner. I did the same gesture with her and the same reaction, as if I displaced what she was seeing and came to me. This time a general sense of fear passed through me. Later events occurred while I was a student at university. I was still living home and working full-time during the weekend. I'd return home usually after 12 a.m., during which my parents were usually asleep. I'd take off my shoes, locked the door, and proceeded to the hallway to reach my bedroom. One night, as I was trying not to make a sound, I turned the whole corner and jumped back as if I was going to bump into my mother. She had a tendency to get up at night to snack. I told her I was sorry and I did not mean to scare her. There was no light in the home apart from the glow of the moon coming inside. I could clearly see my mother's figure in her nightgown, but just too dark to see her face or any clothes patterns. There she stood, not moving nor saying a word. I was flexing my eyes to see if it was trouble with my vision, but quickly realized this was an encounter. I could see the glow of the moon on the walls, the brick divider behind her. I felt somewhat fortunate to have this experience and continued to look at her. I finally decided to swing my arm towards her to see if I would hit anything, to see the shadow disappear. And after clearly seeing any objects that were behind her, the experience left me amused and curious for more. Two other episodes occurred within the following month. The second was in the same scenario of returning home after work and going towards my bedroom without making a sound. As I was about to turn to enter my bedroom door, I had the bathroom door on my left. There I stood and heard a sound of someone blowing air. It was coming from the bathroom, which was completely dark. Immediately, I felt a great chill in my triceps as if something was touching me. Again, I felt very scared, as it was the first time I believe I had a physical contact. I went to bed again, closing the door and hoping for the sun to rise soon. The third event happened about a week later. Same routine, after 12 a.m., went to my bedroom. I was lying on my back, and just about 2 to 3 minutes later, I heard the following. It was the sound of someone walking in the kitchen. The sound was of 4 to 5 footsteps, heavy, as a full-sized man with working boots. I could feel the vibration from my room. I stared at the tiny opening of my bedroom door in beliefs that I would see something or someone walking by, and nothing. I finally got up, went to look at my parents. They were asleep. Went into the kitchen and could not see any footsteps. The door was locked, but again, a weary feeling of being watched could be felt again. I also remember a situation that occurred in the living room with my girlfriend at the time. We were home alone and watching TV late in the evening when she fell asleep, lying on the couch. The light was dimmed, so I remember sitting on the floor and leaning against the Lazy Boy as I was watching TV. I fell asleep as well. I must have woken up about 1 hour later, to which I turned my head towards where my girlfriend was sleeping on the couch. I could not make out how she was sleeping, so I focused and saw her motionless, stretching towards me with her legs on the couch, one hand on the floor and another one towards me, as she was trying to grasp me. Her face can only be described as if she was screaming mad at me. With me, sound and no movement. I remember jumping back and calling her name loudly so she could wake up. Then quickly, as if it's focused again or I focused again, and saw her sleeping soundly on the sofa. To those familiar with the movie The Haunting of Emily Rose, there's a scene in her dorm where her friend wakes up to see her in a bizarre crooked pose. It was similar to that. The most recent incident was about 2 years ago when I brought my girlfriend to meet my parents. We pulled out the sofa in the basement living room for the night. I had just gone to bed and soon closed my eyes. I did not believe that I was fully asleep, but I had a vision. The basement's usually pitch black at night, but I saw a white figure. A young woman in a white dress. She walked slowly parallel to where I was laying, walked through the picnic table. She slowly turned to me, looked at me, then continued, and walked through the cedar closet wall. The experience this time was soothing. I believe after 22 years later, I finally got a message that someone or something was present in the home, watching over me. Far from anything that would seek us harm. I've told these stories many times in hopes to make a connection with the events. Where my family had their home moved to is called the Sires family land. Sires are believed to be the first family to settle in this area. I believe that some restless and lost souls are trying to make contact, trying to find rest, trying to find answers. And to share events that happened during the first 100 to 200 years. Soon after I graduated from the university, I worked for a special care home near downtown Moncton. There, other evidence of possible paranormal activities has been discovered. Old houses have stories. This one with a marking of an upside-down crucifix tainted in the wall, and the attic, armed with a camera and light torch, pictures of white orbs have emerged. The following describes how this late-night hunting for evidence came to be. I started working in a special care home for semi-independent adults living with serious mental health disorders. I was soon offered to work the night shifts from 12 to 8 a.m., being the only staff responsible for about 8 residents. Through my work, I had learned that 2 of those residents would often tell stories in the morning of a male adult walking them late at night, or waking them late at night by walking in their room and standing there. Of course, being diagnosed with schizophrenia, their allegations were merely passed on as hallucinations and delusions. However, it surprised me that the woman on the first floor shared the same experience as the other one, whose bedroom was in the exact other area in the same corner of the house, but on the second floor. I was also informed of a stained symbol in the wall of an upside-down crucifix, which had faded the paint. As a painting over prevents the wall to fade evenly. I was also informed of rumors as to how the house was built, which was apparently from a doctor in the early 1900s who had several children and built a house with 8 to 9 rooms. The house was then sold to a lawyer's firm and then sold to become a special care home. It was told that when the special care was first opened, it was discovered that the attic contained a multitude of religious items such as paintings, crosses, statues of the Christ, chaplains, etc. Therefore, I decided one day to wait until all residents were asleep to explore the house. The following describes my finding. In the main living room is the front door, which leads to a small balcony facing the street sidewalk. An illuminated exit sign had a small picture of the Virgin Mary resting on top of it and leaning against the wall. I stood on a tall chair and removed the picture to discover an area on the light green paint which had a faded upside-down crucifix, about 4 to 5 inches in size and clearly visible as if it had been there for several years. I then took my courage and proceeded to the second floor and opened the attic door. It was covered with a wall of insulation, easily removable. Maybe it was my fear of what would be behind it, but as soon as I removed it, a gigantic chill came over me. I started to walk up the creaking, wooded stairwell, but had to turn around as I was not feeling well, probably from the nerves. I continued back upstairs to finally arrive in the cathedral ceiling attic with two windows facing the outside. With my flashlight, I could see an old chimney. In the middle of the room, armed my camera, I took 12 pictures with a flash, and my torch were illuminating. Needless to say that I returned downstairs after the pictures were taken. The next day I had them developed to find one of them had a transparent, perfectly round white circle, which to me was clearly a grain of dust in front of the lens. However, the last picture had another white speck in the picture. This one was not round, but rather is flowing. Deep white smoke, about a foot wide, and 15 feet from where I took the picture. It was about 3 feet from the ground. After looking at the picture, I noticed that it was in the same corner of the house where the two women's bedrooms are located, the women who claimed to be often woken up at night by a man walking in. Was this evidence of a spirit lurking in this old house, or just a defect in the camera? Evidence and open mind seems to lead to the idea that this house contains another guest. My next steps are to seek counsel from a psychic. I don't want to have someone see in my future, but rather my past. If psychics have a sixth sense about these things, maybe I can get answers to what I've been experiencing these days. Now, I've lived in this area since the past 10 years. Not had any encounters that I can remember. However, I had been waking up at 3 a.m. sharp for nearly every night for a period of about 2 weeks. Some say that 3 a.m. is the witching hour, the opposite time as to when Christ was resurrected, a time where the spiritual realm is at its strongest and forgotten souls are trying to make contact. These late-night wake-ups have always made me feel uncomfortable. My next project is to visit Portage Island in St. John, New Brunswick. I hope that by investigating the island, I could tune my perception of this world that sits on top of us. The island has experienced many traumatic events, and many souls are believed to be hopelessly wandering. Please note that this island has no trespassing signs. However, the city informs me it is go at your own risk. In conclusion, I hope that my stories caught the interest of some of your listeners. I'll continue to update as I have them.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories.